Good morning. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Stuart Mizell, and I'm the pastor of Westminster. It's good to see you all here today. If you have a Bible with you, or if you would like to, you can pull the one in front of you and turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. If you're using the Bible in front of you, that's on page 809. We have been going through a series that we've entitled Kingdom Manifesto because it is Jesus, the King, speaking to the citizens of his kingdom and saying, this is what the kingdom should look like. This is what the character of the kingdom is like. This is what you should be like as a citizen of the kingdom. And we're going currently through the Beatitudes one at a time, the blessed statements. Before we actually read the passage today, though, there's a quote that I've read here several times, but this particular Sunday, with this particular verse, I thought this really fit. And the quote is by a Christian philosopher, Soren Kierkegaard, and this is what he said. People have an idea that the preacher is an actor on a stage, and they are the critics, blaming or praising him. What they don't know is that they are the actors on the stage, and he, the preacher, is merely the prompter, standing in the wings, reminding them of their lost lines. And as I think about what we're about to read, that Jesus' words from Matthew 5, that's sort of what I feel like. The guy who's standing off stage saying, hey, Christians, this is your next line. This is what you're supposed to be on stage before God and before a watching world. But we've forgotten this. So let's hear what God has to say from his word, the very words of Jesus himself here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Father, as we just sang a few moments ago, I pray that your word would be planted deep within us today and would produce real fruit. Fruit that would last. Fruit that would be for your glory. And Jesus, I ask that it would be you who preaches to us today. You are the one who left the glories and the riches and the comforts of heaven and came down to us to not only speak your truth, but to live that truth out and to die and to rise from the dead for our good. And so even as I come down from this pulpit and come closer to your people, would you use me? Would you speak through me? Would you be the one who really preaches today? And Holy Spirit, would you please give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, because this verse is hard. It is difficult for us to really hear what is being said because we live in a culture and in a society that does not really value meekness. And even in the church, we do not value meekness many times when we really should. Would you help us today and change us and shape us and mold us more into the image of Jesus? And we pray this for your glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God who has loved us and given us so much in the gospel of Jesus. Amen. So, in all honesty, what do you think of when you hear the word meek? Imagine you're not in a worship service right now and you're just, you know, downtown Sumter. and someone comes up to you and says, I was reading in the newspaper and it said this word meek, and I've never heard this word before. That wouldn't be too strange, actually. And what does it mean? What would you say? Is it a positive word to you? Or do you not really know what to think about when you hear this word? Because in our culture, this is not a popular word, unless you're a fan of the hip-hop artist Meek Mill. But somehow I get the feeling that most of you are not. Any Meek Mill fans out there? Okay. That one fell flat. All right. So, or maybe you're like most people in our society. When you hear the word meek, you're thinking of someone who is timid, someone who is weak, so spineless, milquetoast. Boy, I love that word, milquetoast. Wishy-washy, weak-kneed doormat. Is that what you think of when you think of the word meek? If you tend to think anywhere in that area that that's what meekness is, today, I hope, by the scriptures, you'll see that we have a wrong view of meekness. And even when we have the right view of meekness, we haven't really understood the value of being meek. So let's start at the beginning. Let's start right what we have here in this text. We see, first and foremost, regardless of what you think meekness is about, Jesus declares that the meek are blessed. I mean, that's right there in the text. Blessed are the meek. It's right there in the text. I can't make stuff up about that because it's just there. Jesus declares that the meek are blessed. So if you've got a negative view of what it means to be meek already, and I'll say this as gentle as I can, you're at odds with Jesus in some way. And as followers of Christ, we never want to be at odds with Jesus. And so maybe this is a time for us to be meek ourselves and to listen and to hear what God has to say about what meekness is. But before we go there, I want to jump to the end of this verse, and I want to talk about the benefits. Because maybe at this stage you're thinking, okay, I don't want to hear a sermon about how I need to be meek. But maybe if I entice you a little bit with the good news, maybe that'll make you want to hear about what it means to be meek a little more. So right at the end of this verse, he says, the meek are blessed. Why? For they shall inherit the earth. So the blessing that the meek receive from God is the inheritance of the earth. The inheritance of the earth. Now, we read today in our call to worship from Psalm 37, verse 11, where it seems that Jesus is at least alluding to this. If you go back and you look in your bulletin, you'll see it's the last verse we read today in the call to worship. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. And it appears that Jesus is taking this concept and showing us the fulfillment of it, because I want you to think through this. What land would the Old Testament psalmist be talking about? The land of Israel, right? And what was the land of Israel called? The promised land, right? A place that is flowing with milk and honey, a beautiful and wonderful place. But when we come to the New Testament, we see that that land, that small little strip of land, was really a shadow of something even greater. It pointed to something even better than a land flowing with milk and honey. It was pointing to a land flowing with righteousness, joy, and peace. a place that we in the New Testament would call a new heaven and a new earth. And so when Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth, this is part of what he's talking about. And I want to pause here to say something that I think that all of us need to think about and let it resonate for a bit. In our society, Christians, well-meaning Christians, we have truncated the gospel. Maybe truncate is not a word that you use very often, so let me explain what I mean by truncate. To truncate something means to cut it short, to cut off something. And we have truncated the gospel because typically, when you hear a quote-unquote gospel presentation, what do you hear? Jesus died for your sins, period. You get forgiveness of sins in Jesus, period. And I want to tell you, as beautiful and as wonderful as that is, I mean, last night, my family, we try to have a little family worship time around the table, and we've been reading through Micah recently at my son Micah's request. And yeah, he thought it was going to be about him, I think. And at the end of Micah chapter 7, there's this beautiful picture of forgiveness where Micah says, "Who is a God like you? The kind of God who will take our sins and trample them underneath your feet." Wow, I mean, that is a beautiful picture of forgiveness. It's not just that God forgets about it. He puts them down on the ground and he tramples them. And he says, "I'm not going to think about these ever again." That's what forgiveness is like, and that is beautiful. That is wonderful, and we never should make light of that. And yet, the gospel is so much more than just forgiveness. And this is case in point. The good news of Christ, the good news of the kingdom, is that you have an inheritance. If you are a follower of Christ, a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled, and it is unfading, kept in heaven for you. Why is it kept in heaven for you? Because that's where Jesus is. You have been qualified. If you're a follower of Christ, you have been qualified, even though you're a sinner who deserves wrath. You've been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. And you've been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it. And what is that inheritance? Okay, follow the logic here. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things." The heir of all things. That's Jesus, the Son of God, who is the heir of everything. All creation, all the created order, the entire universe. And then here, we see Jesus saying, it's the meek who along with me will inherit the whole earth. Not just a little strip of land that we call Israel, but the entire world. As Romans 8:17 says, if we are children of God, then we are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. And so that means that if you are a co-heir with Christ, if you're one of these meek, you inherit everything, the whole world. And this is this is mind-boggling to me as I started studying the scriptures more about to understand this. Did you know that in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, no one should boast in men. No one. Nobody should boast, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, the present, the future. No one should boast in any of those things. Why? Because everything is yours. It all belongs to you. Not because of who you are, but because you're connected to Jesus. Because Jesus gets it all. And if you're in Christ, you get it all. Does that shock you? I mean, does that even register in your mind? Is that possible for you to really grab hold of? I know for me, I struggle with the idea of thinking, how could that be? I mean, here I am, Stuart Mazel, 44 years old, guy who grew up in little teeny Coleraine, North Carolina, population 222. My land that I own is not even an acre. And yet God says, Stuart, because you're in Christ, it's all yours. That's your inheritance. And that's the same, every one of you who put your trust in Christ, it's all your inheritance. Everything. It is, as I said a few weeks ago, it is a return back to the Garden of Eden. Only better. Because it's not just a small area that we get to live in and keep the land. It is the entire world. And if that's the case, if that is the case, that we are still continuing to fill the earth and subdue it, and this is our calling, and that calling will be fulfilled finally in this new heaven and new earth, it's the meek who inherit that. So the question we have to ask is, who are these meek people? What do they look like? Are they really timid and weak-willed and, you know, pushovers? Or does the Bible say something else about what it means to be meek? Well, basically, if we're looking at a biblical definition of meekness, not a Merriam-Webster dictionary kind of definition, because if you look it up in the dictionary, you're going to see some of those things, timid, meek. Well, meek is meek, so you wouldn't see the word meek in a definition of meek. Timid, you know, weak, those kinds of things. You're going to see those words, but if you're looking in the scriptures to see what Jesus means when he says meek, basically the meek person is one who is humble. One who is humble and gentle. One who is humble and gentle and willing to lay down or lay aside their rights and desires for a greater good. That's what a meek person is like. A meek person is humble. Not proud and arrogant. Not boasting in who they are and what they've done. No, someone who is humble. A meek person is someone who is gentle. Not a pushover gentle, but a gentle of, even if you disagree with me, even if you are pushing back on me, I can control myself to the point of being gracious with you. In my words and in my actions. A meek person is someone who isn't a pushover, a weak-willed person, but it is someone who, out of love for God and seeing the wisdom that God gives, is willing to say, yes, this is my right, or this is my desire, but I will lay it aside. Because I know there is something better than getting my way, my rights, my desires. Now, if that's meekness, does that sound like anybody? No. Do you know anyone who exemplifies this? Because certainly the scriptures would say this is what the church is to look like. But I think if we're honest, and in the church we should be honest, right? We should be honest with one another. We should be able to say, this is where I really am with one another. But we all know that we're sinners. We all know that. I mean, as I look out at you and you look out at me, there shouldn't be any pretense here. We all know that there is some darkness left in our hearts. Even though God has transformed our heart to be a heart of flesh that receives His Word, there's still some remaining sin there. So we don't have to hide or pretend like that's not there. And if that's the case, let's be honest. You and I, we are tempted to doubt Jesus' declaration. We are. We're tempted to doubt that it is the meek who are blessed, that the meek are the ones who will inherit the earth. We're tempted to doubt Jesus' declaration because we tend to think those who are proud, aggressive, and ambitious are those who will gain the most in this world. Oh, I didn't get an amen on that one. But it is true. It's those who are proud and aggressive and ambitious. Those are the people that we say, that guy's getting ahead. That guy's going places. That guy will be the guy who will really make things happen. Right? But are we right? Are we right in thinking that that's what really a Christian should be? And that's who gets ahead. Remember what Jesus says? It's this strange statement, but it fits so well with this. It's those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Because the last will be first, and the first will be last. So, some of you know that song by Queen, "We Are the Champions." Who really, ultimately, in God's eyes, who really are the champions? Are they the ones who are proud and ambitious and aggressive? Who, you know, no matter what, I'm going to get what I want. And I don't care who I have to step over, I'm going to get this. And I'm going to get it done. And you know how? Why? Because I am awesome. Or is it those who are gentle, those who are willing to lay down rights and desires for the greater good? It's a hard question, isn't it? And if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would pick A, not B. And this is why we need to be reminded regularly, that Jesus, our Lord and King, is meek. Okay? Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's our Lord. He's our King. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That Jesus, He is meek. How do I know He's meek? Well, He says He is. Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," some translations say meek, "and lowly in heart." The scriptures describe Jesus as someone who a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. And then we have this beautiful passage in Philippians 2. A passage that shows that Jesus is one who is willing to lay down rights for a greater good. Because in Philippians 2, we read that Jesus, the Son of God, although he could have considered equality with God something to be grasped and to be held on to, no, instead he did not do that, and he lowered himself. He became a servant. He took on flesh. Even though he was very God of very God, he took on flesh and became like us in every way, yet he did not sin. And it was that Son of God, that King, who lowered himself to be born, to be in a womb for 9 months, to be born like everybody else is born, and to grow up and to become a child and then a teenager, and then an adult. And then he was willing to lay down his rights even more, because if anybody had the right to life, it would be Jesus. Am I right? Because he's the only one who didn't sin. It's sin that leads to death. Jesus didn't sin. And here's Jesus in the garden praying, and he says, "Father, if this cup could be taken from me, take it, but not my will, but yours be done." Do you hear the meekness? That's our King. That's our Lord. Humble, gentle, willing to lay down his rights. And because meekness is a quality of the character of the King, it will be a quality of the character of the citizens of his kingdom as well, whether we want it or not. And that's just the truth. We will be meek one way or the other, because that's what God wants in us. Because that's God's purpose. Part of God's purpose in saving us is for his glory, to take sinners like us, people who rebel, people who do wrong and say wrong and think wrong, and take them out of that and conform them to the image of his Son, Jesus. And since Jesus is meek, so will we be meek. Now, I have a few things that I want to just throw out there. If you are thinking, "Am I meek?" Just some ideas to think about, to test this among yourself. These were very valuable to me as I was thinking about this, as I was asking the question myself this week, am I a meek person? First of all, how teachable are we? Think about it. If you are humble and gentle and you're willing to lay down rights for a greater good, you should be very teachable. How teachable are we? And I'm not saying you're teachable when you already agree. The challenge is when you disagree. How teachable are you in that moment? I remember a mentor of mine, Jeff Jarvis, an elder of a Presbyterian church up in North Carolina, telling me one day after a Sunday school class that he taught that he could tell by what kind of question a person asked what was really going on in their mind. He wasn't a mind reader or anything. He's just saying he could tell. There were some people, when he presented a difficult doctrine, let's call it that, one that, you know, he knows that people might have some, "Whoa, that can't be right." there were some people who would ask questions like this. Can you explain that to me a little further? Because that sounds so different than what I believe. I mean, I want to see that in Scripture. Can you flesh that out for me so I can understand it better? And then there were those who said, well, I remember when I was sitting under so-and-so at so-and-so's church and they said this, so you must be wrong. Or, don't you know that the Scripture says this? I mean, I read it this morning. And Jeff said, that tells me a lot about why they're there. Are they there to really be teachable and to learn? Or are they there to kind of show off what they think they know? Can I make a confession? For most of my Christian life, I've been in that second category. And it's been wrong. A real meek person, a humble, gentle person who's willing to lay down rights and desires is one who's teachable, one who is willing to listen. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with everything that you hear, but you are slow to speak and quick to listen. And you're going to be like a Berean, like an Acts. You're going to study the Scriptures to see if this is so. But you don't put up a fight before you really understand. Second thing for us to understand when it comes to meekness, I guess for us to test ourselves, is how do we treat those with whom we disagree? If you are a humble person who is gentle and who is willing to lay down your rights and your desires for the good of another person, greater good, you're probably going to treat people a certain way. How do you treat those with whom you disagree? Maybe you disagree with me right now. How are you going to treat me when this is all over with? Hopefully you're not going to throw things at me. As a joke. Just trying to lighten the mood a little bit. This has been a very polarizing year in our nation. And one of the things that has hurt my heart more than anything is the way Christians talk about other Christians who view things differently. I'm not sure that's meek. I know we're in a political year, and I know that politics is one of those things you're not supposed to talk about, and don't worry, I'm not going to get too deep into that, but you know, biblically speaking, is it possible for someone to come to a different conclusion than you and still be loved by God? Is it possible? And I would say that if you say no way, the meek meter might not be as high as you think. And then the third one, and I want to say that this is the one that slammed me right between the eyes. And it's one that is so simple and so obvious that probably nobody in the room, except for you really spiritual ones, figured this out. Prayer. If you're really a humble person, before you do anything, you're probably going to pray. Any big decision, you're going to pray. You probably start your day with prayer. You know, you think, how can I do this on my own? I need my God. I need His wisdom. I need His direction. I need Him. And if you're a humble person, that's what you do. You pray. How often do we in the church just kind of do our own thing, thinking we've got it, without even pausing to say, Lord, what should I do? Or, Lord, give me the strength to do what I know I should do. Meekness is a quality of the character of the king, and it will be a quality of the character of the citizens of the kingdom as well. But that doesn't mean that we can't grow in meekness. And we all need to grow in meekness, me included. And so if this is a little convicting, if this maybe kind of puts you on alert, you're in good company. I mean, think about it. If you're a follower of Christ and you know that Jesus is meek, you want to be meek, right? Don't you? Don't you want to be like Jesus? And if Jesus is meek, you want to be like that. And let's remember, meekness is not being liver-lilied. What another great word, right? Liver-lilied. Jesus was not liver-lilied. Okay? Jesus is not some kind of weak, mamby-pamby, not even a man kind of man. You know, he was a carpenter. A carpenter who, when he went into the temple, drove people out with a whip. Okay? Now, that's not mamby-pamby. And yet, as I said before, the scripture said he would be gentle with people when he needed to be. He would lay down his rights and his desires when he needed to. He would be humble. In fact, he was humble. And he was willing to humble himself even further for the good of other people. That's what it means to be meek. And so if you're a follower of Christ, you want to be meek. And let's remember that Jesus pronounces his blessing upon the meek. The meek will inherit the earth, not by their strength. It's not a takeover kind of thing. It's a handover. God gives the inheritance to the meek. They don't win it by their power, whether it's physical power, religious power, political power, you name it, power. That's not how the kingdom comes. The kingdom comes because of Jesus. And we receive it. We inherit it. And the inheritance is a gift. It is a gift given freely by the will of the Father. And it really has nothing to do with what we do. You hear that? Our inheritance really has nothing to do with what we do. It has to do with who we are. The meek are those who inherit. So the real question is, are you meek? And if you're not, turn to Jesus, and he will make you meek. If you're meek, but you're not meek enough, don't worry about that. Just look to Jesus, because he's the one who will make you to be more meek. He will grow you in meek. He will make you to be more like him. And that is wonderful news for those of us who struggle with being meek. So, my friends, let's ask the Spirit of God to increase our Christ-like meekness as we rejoice in being a co-heir with Christ, because that is what we are. Let's pray. Father, please help us. Holy Spirit, cause us to be meek from the very inside of our heart all the way out to the outward demonstration. We know we cannot be meek just by trying to put on some meek clothes. We need you, Jesus. We need you to change us and to transform us, to make us to be real citizens of your kingdom in fullness. And even those of us who have been citizens of your kingdom, we still need you to grow us in this meekness so that we will be more and more like you. And in the end, we know that it's not our power, not our smarts, not our abilities that will cause us to gain what you have for us. It is an inheritance. It is a gift. It is freely given because of who you are. So help us to grow in this meekness, to reflect more of Jesus, and to rejoice that while we may suffer now, while we may have difficulty in this life now, we will inherit the earth and everything be ours because of who we are in Jesus. And even now, as we prepare to partake in this meal, your supper, remind us not just of Jesus, your death, but of your return, when you will establish this new heaven and new earth full of righteousness, joy, and peace, and that we will sit down with you at a wedding feast that will be so wonderful and amazing that none of us could even imagine what it's like. And we ask this in your name, Jesus, and for your glory. Amen. I'd like to ask the elders if they would come forward and prepare.